I need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration, happy Tuesday night, everybody. It's 7 p.m. on the Left Coast. It's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd care to do so, interact with comments and questions on Twitter. I tell you that every week. I try to keep an eye on it. We have some friends that like to tweet and chime in with humorous comments now and then. You can follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. My first guest tonight is Kevin Estella. Is it Estella or Estella?
Estella.
Estella. Okay, there we go. I want to say it as correctly as possible. Kevin is the owner and head instructor of Estella Wilderness Education. He brings extensive educational experience to the courses and material he offers. He's a regular contributing author to Recoil, an off-grid magazine, American Survival Guide, American Frontiersman, Survivor's Edge. Kevin Estella is a professional outdoorsman sponsored by numerous product companies and a product tester for sporting goods companies. Hey, that sounds like a pretty good gig to me. But there's more. Wait. He's also trained in a few martial arts, of which I know very little. He's trained in Sayakali. He'll correct me on all this. He's an associate instructor level 2 in the Filipino martial arts system. He's a black belt in the applied self-defense program at Risu Martial Arts and a purple belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu under Sifu Chris Smith. So you can correct all my pronunciation. Kevin Estella, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Tammy. I'm very happy to be here.
You know what? As I read about you, I think, oh my gosh, this guy can do everything but leap tall buildings in a single bound. I cannot believe all the things you're interested in. And let's go back to the very beginning.
Sure.
In case everybody hasn't read the show page, which they should do, because I've got a whole bunch of your bio in there, and it's long. But how in the world? Tell us a story about how you got so interested in the outdoors and hunting and weapons and martial arts.
So my background really can be attributed to my father primarily. My father has even a more interesting story than I would love to, you know, call my own. My father grew up in the Philippines during World War II. And, you know, in 1941, when the Japanese Imperial Army invaded the Philippines, my grandfather was very active in town. He was very political. And the Japanese wanted to round up all the, you know, the local heads of state. And my grandfather said, the hell with that idea. So he moved the entire town into the jungle. And from 1941 until 1945, that's where my father survived, along with my grandfather and his brothers.
Wow.
So when my dad came over in 1965, he met my mother. You know, they had three kids. I'm the youngest of three. And as a little kid, you know, the only boy in the family, I never really had any interest whatsoever in doing peewee football or little league or anything like that. I just wanted to do stuff that my dad did when he was a kid. And my dad was awesome. You know, he taught me all sorts of skills, and, you know, he's still one of my best friends to this day. I see him all the time. But I attribute all of my knowledge, early knowledge, to him. And then over the years, you know, I got interested in the outdoors even more and started working for, you know, outdoor sporting goods stores and became a lifeguard and eventually started teaching canoeing and kayaking. And at some point I was like, you know, I want to just formalize my outdoor education. So I started taking classes with Maine Primitive Skills School, Jack Mountain Bushcraft, and I eventually settled on the Wilderness Learning Center, and I learned from, you know, another great mentor in my life, Marty Simon, who was a Vietnam veteran, an Army survival instructor, and a full-time survival instructor in the civilian world. And I eventually became his lead instructor at his school, and I taught there from 2007 to 2012 before starting my own company. So, yeah, I can really look back and say that I got into the outdoors pretty much at a very young age, and I've never given up the passion for it.
My goodness. It's pretty darn amazing. And a lot of people don't think of the Philippines, of that area of the world when they think of World War II. But there was a lot going on there with the Japanese Imperial Army, as you said. And I actually have a very good friend and his wife. He was he flew Hueys in the last couple decades in Black Ops missions and stuff. But his dad was captured by the Japanese and put in a concentration camp there in that Southeast Asia area. And he was liberated as a boy by the Americans and then taken to New Zealand. He never saw his family again and eventually migrated to the United States because he remembered the Americans that liberated him. But they used to talk about what happened during World War II and very, very fascinating part of the war that doesn't always get a lot of attention.
Yeah, you know, something I never served in the military. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, active and friends that have retired. And my father never served in the military. But I can tell you that from a very young age, after hearing all the stories of how the United States liberated the Philippines, my father has had the utmost respect for the military and that passed on to me. So, you know, there's so much history that's over there that gets overshadowed by the great dictators of Europe. Russia, and we forget that there's this whole other war that happened in the Pacific beyond just the knowledge of the atomic bomb and how the war ended. So there's amazing history that's still out there, and you know, I think people should invest some time and read about it.
I do as well. Something interesting, which you probably know, but you might not. The Japanese apparently were considering attacking the west coast of the United States, but word had it that every American had a gun. And in fact, along the whole west coast, I do a lot of flying with friends, and along the whole west coast, every 20 miles, there's an airstrip so that our military could defend our western coast if need be, because they thought the Japanese were coming. And apparently, our Second Amendment rights deterred them, which is amazing.
Yeah, their expression was, behind every blade of grass, there is a rifle, or there was a gun, there's a gun behind every blade of grass. And what people don't realize is that the Japanese actually got to, at that point, it wasn't the state of Alaska, but it was the Alaskan territory. They actually were up in the Aleutian Islands. So
wow.
They had a plan of invasion. There was no doubt about it.
Yes. Yeah, so when people start messing with my Second Amendment rights, there is a reason we have them. There's a reason that it's a fantastic right that our founders established. And so I'm a big proponent of that. All kinds of history backs it up. As we get into the martial arts a little bit, just because that's so fascinating to me, I start thinking of David Carradine and Kung Fu or something. But tell me, what is all this stuff? What is Sayak Kali, or however you pronounce it?
Sayak Kali is a tribal system. It's from the Sayak family in the Philippines. It's a bladed system. That's what we're known for, but it's actually a complete system. What people don't realize, they see our training rigs, and we carry multiple knives on us, but our rig is nothing more than a training tool. And, you know, we use it to point out the weaknesses in the way that we carry weapons and the way that we access weapons and our opponents access them. But we are a complete system, from firearms all the way down to grappling and stick grappling. So Sayak Kali is a Filipino martial arts system. And when people say, well, what is Filipino martial arts? How does it look different than, say, Taekwondo? Or how does it look different than Kung Fu? What I can usually tell people is, well, if you've ever seen a Jason Bourne movie, you know, the really tight movements, the throwing of elbows, the parrying of blades and tight choreographed movements like that. That's more moving like a Filipino martial artist. You know, if you've seen the movie The Hunted, which was, you know, features a lot of over the top knife scenes, keep in mind it's grounded in reality. You know, a real duel between two people with blades won't last as long as it did in the movie, but that would be a very boring movie if it was over in just a matter of minutes. But what's really interesting about Sayak is I've fallen in love with Sayak. It's a great system. What's really interesting about it is it's traditional and tribal tactics that have been adopted for the modern battlefield. And if you think about, say, like what a conquistador wore as armor, well, some of the hostiles that our soldiers are facing now are wearing similar armor. So the way that we can defeat that armor in the 16th century is the same way that we can defeat it today. So there's a lot of history. It really speaks to me. And, you know, it's part of my culture. It's part of my roots. So that's what SIOC is.
Okay, wow. That explains a lot. I know that you talk in your articles as you're getting ready for your safari, and we'll talk about the safari in a little bit, but you talked about your knife as part of your loadout, and I don't know a lot about knives. Now, I have a Navy SEAL knife that unfolds that I carry in my loadout, actually, but if I really had to use it, I'd probably be hurting. I can use my pistol really well. I'm not so good with the long guns, and I'm certainly not trained with knives, so I better stick with my pistol for now. But as I heard you talking about your knife, I saw some pictures that involved the knife. I thought, okay, I think he's really good with those blades, and now I know why.
And it's partially, I mean, it's my ability and my capability with using knives comes from the survival experience, using them, you know, developing grip strength and knowing how to carve with them. But then SIOC is more about not just prolonged use of the knife for carving. I mean, we're not an art that teaches carving wood. We're an art that, you know, shows you how to use your knife defensively and offensively if need be. So it's more about accessing the blade and moving from one target to another vital target very efficiently. And something that you might want to consider, or any of the listeners, you know, it's one thing to carry a firearm, but firearms are, they're limited by range. And a lot of people think a handgun has a maximum range, but it also has a minimum range. And there are some times when it makes more sense to draw a blade in defense of your life than it does to draw a pistol. So it's part of a complete system, and that's what I really wish more people would learn. Just because, you know, if you love your life, you should learn how to defend it in the best possible way.
Yes. I started my journey toward concealed carry a number of years ago. I had a few friends that had been encouraging me. And I grew up in a home, Kevin, that, of course, there were guns around. Dad was in the Army. He was an expert rifleman. He loved to hunt. He especially loved trap shooting, things like that. So it was not uncommon to see him cleaning the rifle or his rifles in the house. I didn't have a bit of fear of them. I had a great respect. But I felt safe because I knew Dad would keep us safe no matter what. And I had an experience living in this Portland metro area in the middle of the night where there were a number of older teenagers that were high and being violent not too far. They were beating up a gal outside of my apartment, unheard of in this little safe area where I live. And I yelled for them to stop before I knew what I was doing at 2 a.m, realizing there's 20 feet and a screen on my window in between me and about 7 high teenagers that are guys that were being kind of violent out there. And I didn't even have a Louisville Slugger, for pity's sake. So the next day I got in touch with one of my good friends who shoots a lot. And I said, that's it. I'm going to learn how to shoot. I'm going to get eyes and ears. I'm going to do this thing. And so I did. And I have over the years taken more courses and become a concealed carrier. And every chance I get, I do more training. So I just thought I do not want to be a sheep. I want to be a sheepdog or a lioness. And I want to be able to defend myself and any other innocent's lives, period.
And that's a great obligation. It's a great responsibility. And I wish more people would take a very similar approach that you have. Just because an armed society is a polite society.
Yep, absolutely is. So talking a little more about martial arts, I kind of know what jiu-jitsu is, but not really. Would you explain what it is?
Sure. Jiu-jitsu, and in particular Brazilian jiu-jitsu, is a grappling art. It's submission grappling. So, you know, the expression is you're either going to force your opponent to tap out, you're going to cause something to snap, or you're going to make them nap. So tap, snap, or nap, or crack. And what we're doing is we're using our entire body against our opponent's extremity. If we're attacking the arm, if we're attacking the neck, if we're tapping the leg or the wrist or the ankle, it's a grappling art. So within martial arts, there's five ranges of combat. There's grappling, close range, medium range, long range, and projectile range. So what we're looking at with jiu-jitsu, it's a grappling range art. It's called the gentle art. And I was literally just training it tonight with a few of my training partners at the school before I got on this podcast. And I said to them, it's considered the gentle art because unlike boxing, where if you get hit, you can't turn off the pain, you know, by tapping out. But if someone is applying a choke to me and I feel, wow, this is uncomfortable, I tap, they stop choking me and the pain goes away immediately. So a lot of people have this idea that, you know, it's so violent, it's so dangerous, but you're not going to see the same number of concussions that you will with a lot of the striking arts. And it's a great system to learn in case you ever have to deal with a family member or someone at a social event that you don't want to strike, that you can't pull your gun on, that you can't pull a blade on, and you literally just have to manhandle that person to the door. So it's a great system. It's a great way of training, and I highly recommend it for everyone out there to just learn the fundamentals, and maybe you'll be impressed to go after and learn the more advanced skills.
Wow. Yeah, I have a good friend who raised his daughters knowing jiu-jitsu. So he started them training at a very young age. He said he thought he could be with them a lot and protect them, but realized that he couldn't be with them all the time. So he and his abilities and his weapons were not going to be with these girls. And he decided one of the best things he could do would be to get them in martial arts. So they always carried themselves with a sense just confidence, I think, and also situational awareness that a lot of people should have and maybe don't have, but I think that's a great thing to teach daughters. So he was very impressed with jiu-jitsu.
Like I said, it's fantastic, and you mentioned something very important. You carry yourself with a sense of confidence, and that's easily read. It's read by people that might have less than great intentions of what they want to do with you. And that will often avoid conflict right there. Just the way that you carry yourself. You mentioned, you know, the sheep and the sheepdogs earlier. You know, in SIOC, we just simply say predator and prey, you know, and it's okay to be a predator as long as you're, you know, protecting those that you care about. You're not a threat to anyone else. So if you carry yourself like a predator, other predators will take notice, and they don't want a hard fight. They want an easy win.
Right.
That's what firearms, that's what training does for the average person. It gives you that sense that is easily read by others.
Yes. Now, you're living in the Northeast. For some reason, I thought you should be living somewhere off the grid, like Montana or something, but you're up there in the Northeast. I guess there is a lot of wilderness up there. And you mentioned Marty Simon. Now, I read about him on your site, and I wondered what kind of skills he taught you. You're a certified survival instructor. What sort of classes do you teach?
So Marty gave me the title certified survival instructor. And the funny thing is, there's no such thing as a certified instructor. You know, because there's no universal governing body of survival instructors. But, you know, to have someone like Marty, who is the foremost plant expert in the country, who knows thousands of edible, medicinal, and useful plants, to have someone like him as a mentor was something that I treasured, you know, very, very deeply. Marty, like I said, was a combat veteran in Vietnam, and we've had so many interesting discussions over the years. You know, we see eye to eye on so many things, you know, politically, you know, fundamentally in terms of, you know, what it means to be a good person and helping others out and how to teach. But, you know, when I was working with the Wilderness Learning Center, we did week-long courses, basic survival courses that were anything but basic. They were very, very in-depth. We had, I don't know how many hours, probably close to 60 or 70 hours, maybe 80 hours in the week that we taught, from 8:30 in the morning when we woke up until 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night when we finally said, you know, goodnight to everyone. We were teaching throughout the day. And that was a week-long course. We did basic, we did advanced courses, winter survival courses where the temperature rarely broke the freezing point, you know, above freezing. You know, we've traveled all over. And when Marty closed the school in 2012, you know, I started picking up some of the additional classes that, you know, he wasn't offering anymore. So I do a lot of, you know, the bushcraft classes, I travel and I teach, you know, anyone from, you know, Boy Scouts to, you know, people that are concerned citizens and other individuals and all the different types of survival training, whether it's modern survival training or bushcraft or primitive skills. It's really whatever people ask me to do. So, you know, and there's such a great demand for it right now. I would recommend for people that are listening, if you're interested in getting into survival training, whether you train with me or someone else, just do your research, because since there is such a great demand, there are a lot of people out there that are looking to capitalize on it and they don't have the credibility. And if you're going to invest your money, invest it wisely. Just ask questions, ask good people, you know, for recommendations, and hopefully you'll find a school that fits you.
Yeah. I think that's something we all could learn. It seems like I saw you or your name connected to prepper instruction, which I guess kind of coincides with that. And I imagine you do that. And I thought, good grief, I don't even have a bug out bag. And I think everyone should probably have one. So tell us, if you could advise someone of the most important survival skills they should have and what should be in your bug out bag, what would you have to say?
I would say, number one, have a plan. You know, I would preface that by saying have a good plan. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to bug out. I've got this great kit and I'm going to walk forever with it. But they haven't tried walking with it. They haven't thought about, okay, I'm going to walk through the countryside with a rifle slung over my shoulder and this military looking pack, and I'm not going to draw any attention. Yeah. I mean, people have to be very realistic with their bug out plans. Have a location, have a backup location. You might want to even consider having caches along the way of your bug out, so you don't have to carry everything with you. You can just go to these pre-established locations that already have supplies in them. And those could be hidden very easily and very inexpensively. I would say for bugging out, you know, you also want to contemplate, when is your go time? When is that red line where you're past that point of no return where you have to bug out? Because we're strongest at home. So I would consider having a bug in plan before you have a bug out plan. You know, you don't want to just walk away from your house, possibly your biggest investment you've made in your entire life, second to your college education, if you have one. And, you know, you don't want to just walk away just because there's a few snowflakes coming down on the ground. You know, try to figure out what would be your moment where you say, I'm going to walk away from this. I'm okay walking away. So I would say that the first step in bugging out or bugging in is having a good plan that's well thought out, non-emotional, and just very logical.
Okay, that's great advice. And I know it's hard to give any kind of advice really in a few minutes, because it's something that obviously you've been learning for a lifetime, but sometimes you can get people thinking and kind of prod them in the right direction. If you're just joining the show, my guest is Kevin Estella. Kevin is the owner and head instructor of Estella Wilderness Education. He's a fascinating guy. I found out about Kevin because I do work for Robar Guns in Phoenix, Arizona. They're also a sponsor of the show, if you didn't know that, Kevin. And I am great, great friends with Freddie Blish, the owner and president of Robar. And he said, Tammy, there's this interesting guy that's going on a safari and he's taking a Robar customized rifle with him. You ought to cover this for our website and get it out on social media. And I said, sure, you know, what's his name? What's going on? And so I started doing my research, and the more I read, I thought, okay, this is great stuff. This is so interesting. And we've chatted a little bit online via Facebook Messenger, and you've told me some interesting stories here and there, but this whole deal with the safari just captured my imagination. Absolutely did. Would you talk a little bit about the Russ Field Safari, how you got involved in it, and what they do with these guided hunts?
Sure. About, I'd say 10 years ago, I became good friends with a sales associate at a gun store named Mark Eney. And Mark runs a company called Primo Adventures. They actually picked up Russ Field Safaris as a company that they book for. So my friend Mark introduced me to Russ at a game dinner. He's like, hey, this is a professional hunter from Africa. This goes back to like 2012 or 2011. Wow. And I met him and he was a really interesting guy. And he was talking about hunting big cats and all these different animals. And I was like, man, this sounds like a wild trip. I don't know when I'll ever get to go to Africa. Long story short, Mark got really busy with work. I got really busy with work. We kind of lost touch with each other. And then we reconnected this past fall. And he's like, you got to get to Africa. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to. So I contacted Russ and Mark contacted Russ and we figured it out. And he said, you're going to do a management hunt. And, you know, we don't want to just do any regular type of hunt. Let's do something that really is unique. And I reached out to some of my editors. I told them the idea. And the idea would be that I was going to go to Africa, go to South Africa, hunt with Rust Field Safaris, and we would do a management hunt. So we are culling the population of overpopulated game at various preserves because there's simply not enough food and, you know, it hurts the entire animal population. So I went over there. We were going to go over there and hunt these animals. And then all of the meat that we gathered, that we harvested, would be donated to local schools for kids' lunches in a program called Hunter's Care that Russ actually created through FASA, which is the Professional Hunters Association of South Africa. So long story short, July came around. I went over there with my friends Justin Cimino and Liam Hoffman. And, you know, we participated in this hunt. We took a number of game. I used the Robar Precision Hunter Rifle, which worked like an absolute charm. And getting it over to Africa is a whole other podcast, I'll tell you that much. That's a fun story. You know, the looks on people's faces when you're flying internationally with a firearm, it's classic. But we went over there, we did a good thing. And then we basically, and I'm going to document this in Recoil Carnivore, we tracked the meat from the field literally to the school cafeteria in this very, very impoverished school in South Africa, where, to put it into perspective, there's a lock on the refrigerator because people were stealing the meat. And there's a lock on the door to the refrigerator room. There's a lock on the school, and there's a gate with a lock that locks in the school that people have stolen the barbed wire for to scrap it. So it's an extremely impoverished area. And if word got out that 150 pounds of meat was being delivered to that school on a weekly basis, that school could easily be overrun because it's a very protein-starved continent, protein-starved neighborhood that we delivered it to. Right. And we ensured that these kids would receive a 3-ounce portion of meat each, 120 students, for over a week with what we delivered.
Wow. So
it was really, really fascinating to see how hunting, which normally people think, oh, you know, it's the dentist that shot the lion. Oh, hunting's horrible. Well, now you're putting people in a moral dilemma because, well, if we didn't do what we just did, how else are those kids going to get protein in their diets?
Right.
How else are the trackers and the skinners that process the game for us, how are they going to take the organ meat back to their villages and make stews from it? Like, to see how many people are impacted was just absolutely amazing. And it's a story that needs to be told.
It does. And the more I talk to people that are ignorant about all this, they don't realize that most of the hunters and outdoorsmen I know, they love people, they love the environment, they love wildlife, absolutely. And so you see, I all my relatives have always hunted. They've always gotten elk and deer and other animals, and we've had lots of great meat from it. It wasn't just a trophy deal. There was more to it than that. We could talk about so much more. We've run out of time. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show. I look forward to meeting you in person someday, and you can teach me a thing or two about survival.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a great, great pleasure. And, I'm happy to come on any other time you want me to talk more about anything else.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot you know stuff about, so I will definitely have you on again. Take care, Kevin.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Take care.
You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Alliance Defending Freedom's Matt Sharp. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance access control systems for business nationwide. Their turnkey surveillance and access control systems provide an excellent management control tool, going far beyond the obvious safety and security benefits. They're a site-wide surveillance system. It's the most cost-effective way to provide instant access to all the visual information that's critical to your business. Camera Security Now can handle your largest surveillance projects while still providing easy-to-reach personal service. With upfront pricing on itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system with no monthly fees, and virtual same-day visits, you can rest assured that your security needs are in capable hands. For more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com or call 800-440-1662. That's CameraSecurityNow.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through my show. If you missed it in the first half hour, you'll want to listen to the podcast after the live show is over. The recording will be put up, and I spoke with Kevin Estella, who's a wilderness expert, hunter, martial artist, just amazing person. But right now, I am joined by my guest, Matt Sharp. Matt Sharp serves as senior counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF. He directs the Center for Legislative Advocacy. Since joining ADF in 2010, Sharp has worked on important cases advancing religious freedom for students desiring to share their faith and defending their privacy against efforts to require schools to open their locker rooms and restrooms to the opposite sex. He has won cases upholding the rights of students to form religious clubs, invite classmates to church, even perform a religious song at a school talent show. He earned his JD in 2006 from Vanderbilt University Law School. He's a member of the bar in Georgia and Tennessee and admitted to practice in several federal courts. Matt Sharp, welcome to the Tammy Jackson Show. I can't seem to hear Matt Sharp. Can't seem to hear him at all. So, we might have to take a little break and come back. We're having a technical difficulty here, I guess.
the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Be there to listen.
I can, I will
know the signs.
Seek care early.
Talk to my healthcare provider.
Be there to help, listen, and get you through this.
I can, I will motivate others.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I can, I will be there for my buddies, no matter what.
Be there for our veterans, no matter what.
And I've got your back, too.
I can, I will keep our family safe while you're away.
I can, I will think of you every night.
We're in this together.
I got this.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Five.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute.
You shine like a star. You know who you are. You're everything beautiful. She's hot, hot like the sun. The loneliest one. Standing at my door, we stayed up in the city till the stars lost the war. So Friday night, Holy Ghost, take me.
We're back, everybody. After some technical difficulties, this thing called radio gets real interesting sometimes when they change all the technology on us and don't even let us in on the secret. I am here with Matt Sharp. He has been so patient. He's on the East Coast. He's an ADF lawyer, a fabulous guy, and here we put him on hold forever. But I think we've got you on, and I can hear you. This is fantastic. And I want to remind folks, if you wonder about ADF, that's the organization that defended Jack Phillips amongst all the many, many other things that they do. And Matt Sharp, you've been involved in a lot of cases, including cases that involve First Amendment issues in schools, etc. And there was a National Review article that I saw about three new Supreme Court decisions that protect free speech on campus. You're all about free speech on campus. Have you heard anything about those Supreme Court decisions?
Yes, some very great decisions that came out this term that really do important work to expand free speech on campus and really across the country. One of the important ones was the Janus case. And so this was the one dealing with mandatory union fees. And a lot of people may say, well, what's that got to do with campus free speech? But what the heart of that case was whether the government can force an individual to support speech that they disagree with. And so it was with the union workers having to pay money that the unions use to endorse candidates and do things that they may not have liked. And seeing the Supreme Court say those are unconstitutional, I think was an important victory for the idea that the government can never force any citizen to support or speak a message that they disagree with in any way. And so I think that was one of the really important free speech decisions. Another one was also out of California, the NIFLA case dealing with the state of California forcing pro-life pregnancy centers to provide information about abortions. And again, it was a principle of the government forcing individuals to speak a message they disagree with. And so all of these are this strong pattern from the court recently saying that First Amendment, the court really means it, and the government can't use its power to force people to communicate messages that violate their conscience, their convictions, or that's just a message they disagree with.
That's so true. This is such good stuff. One thing I was going to ask you, have you seen a change in the temperament of the courts with this new administration?
I think we're seeing a lot of the judges being appointed are originalists that are not trying to force their own view of what the Constitution means, but have a respect for what the Founding Fathers intended it to mean and the freedoms that they were trying to protect. And I think that's something all of us should be very concerned about, is having judges that have that view. Because if a judge can today impose their view, what stops a judge tomorrow from imposing a different view? We're a nation bound by the rule of law, not by the rule of activist judges. And so I think this focus on ensuring that judges are properly following the law and not their own opinions is important and is a change in the right direction.
Yes, I could not agree more. Love the thought of originalist judges. Now, I want to talk briefly about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Anybody listening, if you don't know about this organization, you ought to. They are a heinous organization. They have a hate list that they love to put conservatives on. If you're a conservative and a Christian, you're probably going to end up on their list, as did ADF and a number of other really, really righteous organizations. And I heard that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has ordered a DOJ review to make sure the department does not partner with SPLC. What's that all about, Matt?
Yeah, so we were very encouraged last week, Attorney General Sessions. We were honored to have him join us at the ADF Summit on Religious Liberty. He was talking about a lot of the work that the government is doing to protect religious freedom for all Americans. And he specifically referenced that SPLC had labeled ADF and several other groups as a hate group. And he made two important points. One, made very, very clear that he does not view ADF as a hate group, and we really appreciated that. You know, we've spent decades fighting for First Amendment rights for all Americans, and just to have the Attorney General show appreciation for our work and dispel some of these false rumors from the SPLC and groups like them. But I think more importantly, he was very clear that said the federal government is not going to work with hate groups, and they're not going to work with groups that smear and tarnish other groups that are trying to defend constitutional freedoms, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, a group that just throws out the name hate group and extremist group against anyone that has a different view. And so to hear the Attorney General say very clearly that they're not going to work with groups like that, that just go around labeling everyone they disagree with as a hate group, I think was an important step for the government to stop the spread of these misinformation and just this harmful rhetoric that is being thrown around by the SPLC.
Yeah, and it's not even just rhetoric. When you think that it was the SPLC that pretty much invoked or encouraged that fellow that went into the FRC, the Family Research Center, intending to shoot somebody and was stopped by one of the guards there at the FRC. So a lot of this does turn to action. I am amazed, Matt Sharp, that the left, and I put the Southern Poverty Law Center on the extreme left, they used to preach so much about tolerance, and yet they are the most intolerant bunch I have ever seen. So tolerance once upon a time used to mean you have the right to be what I consider absolutely wrong, and that's your right to be all wet and to be wrong, and I'm just going to let you have that wrong opinion, and that was tolerance. And then it became you have the right to agree with me 100%, or else you're hateful, and it's just gone on and on until they just don't allow anybody to depart from their groupthink on the left there.
That's exactly right. You know, it more from the SPLC, you know, decades ago, was actually doing good work for civil rights, and over years has changed into a propaganda machine where
yes.
They're hurling around this label. They're using it to fundraise, raising millions of dollars off their efforts to, like you said, not just label groups, but I think it was one of their senior fellows that described it as said, our goal is not to monitor hate groups. It's to find groups we disagree with and destroy them. And that's exactly
wow.
what they're trying to do. And as you mentioned, this has real world consequences. There are people that take that SPLC label to heart and have unfortunately used that as a motivation to do horrible acts. And that's where it just shows the danger of what the SPLC is doing and why media organizations should not be listening to them, should not be using them as a source. That SPLC has been discredited and needs to be ignored by media and society as a whole.
No, I could not agree more. I tell you, you know, hate starts in the heart. And these actions start in the heart. And the hate that I see is not from groups like ADF that are people that are loving other people, helping other people with their First Amendment rights, with religious liberty and other things. It's just all turned on its head these days, unfortunately. But you guys are kind of trying to help undo a lot of that nonsense at Alliance Defending Freedom. Like I do every week, I want to tell people, I'm sorry this was an abbreviated time thanks to the technical difficulties, but I really want people to go to adflegal.org, I believe it is, and check out, yeah, adflegal.org. Want to make sure I had that exactly right, because you need to check out what they're doing all the time. There's always good stories. There's good videos about what's going on, how they have protected people and advanced First Amendment rights. And all this work is pro bono. So some people want to just keep up on all the stuff. Some people also are maybe looking for a good organization to give some money to. If you want some charitable giving, the ADF is a great group to do that with. Matt Sharp, do you have any big cases in the hopper that you'd want to mention?
Yeah, we've got several big ones, including Baronell Stutzman. She's the florist from Washington
yes.
State. Also standing for back at the Washington Supreme Court after Jack Phillips' case. And again, another great Christian woman that loves and serves everyone, but just can't participate in certain events. And she's fighting for
right.
her right to live out her convictions.
Yes, and that's exactly what Jack Phillips had done. People that didn't know his story might have thought he was hateful, when in fact he had lovingly served everybody, regardless of their personal choices over the years. He just, as a Christian, could not be participating in actively in a same-sex wedding, but he would serve them in every other way. They'd buy cakes from him around the year, but just not for that one event. So people need to know what's really going on. They need to be reading these stories and these cases. They're fascinating, and ADF is doing good work. Matt Sharp, I'm sorry it was abbreviated tonight, but thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. You take care, my friend.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because you and I have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth,
And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preached what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang. Boy, no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore.